1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. Florida Attorney General Pam Bondi stands to become the next U.S. Attorney General, President-elect Trump nominating the former Florida AG after Matt Gaetz dropped out Thursday.
Gaetz did phone the president-elect late this morning, obviously informing him of his decision. But, of course, informing him of the decision came as Trump behind the scenes grew quite frustrated with what he continued to learn from this new public reporting about Gaetz. So in Trump's statement, he says that Gaetz didn't want to be a distraction for the administration. He says he wishes him well.
ABC's Catherine Falders. Federal police in Brazil indicted former President Jair Bolsonaro for allegedly attempting a coup after he was booted out of office in 2022. 61 people sickened in 19 states, 10 dead. The final numbers as federal public health officials declare an end to the listeria outbreak linked to a recall of Boar's Head deli meats. This is ABC News. Concern in hurricane-ravaged states in the southeast U.S. over the incoming Trump administration.
President Biden met Wednesday at the White House with North Carolina Governor Roy Cooper, as well as state and local officials, to talk about the ongoing recovery efforts there from hurricanes Helene and Milton. The White House says the president reiterated his administration's support for North Carolina and committed to making sure the state has what it needs to rebuild homes, businesses, and communities as fast as possible. The president on Monday asked Congress to approve nearly $100 billion in emergency disaster relief funding. Karen Travers, ABC News, the White House.
The incoming administration, seen by some as being a boon to Bitcoin. The cryptocurrency has exploded more than 40% since the election and is now knocking on the door of $100,000. Just 2 years ago, after the FTX implosion, it had dropped to $17,000. Industry players expect the Trump administration to be more crypto-friendly. I'm Richard Cantu, ABC News.
The Todd Albaugh Show.
Zomers, are you a Netflix and chill guy?
Do you know what Netflix and chill means?
I thought it just meant watch something on Netflix together.
You say that's what you're going to do, but you're really having them over there for sex.
This is why nobody wants to come to my place anymore. I say, hey, you want to come over and have Netflix and chill? People keep saying, well, no, I don't think so. I'll take it back. And I just thought they were being rude.
I do have Netflix, though.
The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Dom Salvia Show.
Harvey Kay, Professor Emeritus of Democracy at the University of Wisconsin, Green Bay. Harvey, I know you're the big FDR expert.
1934, he decided that the inequality and the wealth accumulated at the top was a threat not only to the American economy, but also to the American democratic spirit, American democratic life. The
way sounds like history's repeating itself.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
The Bucks host the Pacers. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Milwaukee Bucks take on the Pacers tonight at Fiserv Forum. After a horrible start, the Bucks have won 4 of their last 5, getting more points from Brook Lopez, head coach Doc Rivers.
It's funny, we were talking about Brook today, and I made the comment you just can't ever lose faith in him because you know he can shoot the ball, and you know eventually it's going to happen. I come into the facility yesterday evening. I'm the only one in there. Brook was the only other guy in there shooting.
It was a really cool thing
just watching him shoot over and over and over again.
College football, the Badgers are off to Nebraska to play the Cornhuskers tomorrow, game time at 2:30. Sunday, it's the Packers and the 49ers at Lambeau Field. Tucker Kraft on losing in the playoffs last season to San Francisco.
Yeah, last year was a tough game because we had them beaten so many categories and then we lose the game. So coming out this week and just trying to maximize every opportunity, that's going to be the main game plan.
That's Packers tight end Tucker Kraft. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. If the Academy Awards have any meaning at all, they will nominate Denis Villeneuve for Best Director for Dune 2. Those are the words of actor Josh Brolin, who seems serious, adding he might quit acting altogether if his friend is not nominated for Best Director. Yeah, me too. The first Dune received 10 Oscar nominations in 2022, but not for Best Director, which obviously does not sit well with the No Country for Old Men actor. Thespians do tend to be a bit dramatic, but I hope Brolin doesn't quit acting. he's pretty good at it. Those of you who are shower indifferent, love camping in mud, and would like a shot at a serious injury might be interested to know that headliners for 2025's Coachella have been announced. Lady Gaga, Green Day, Post Malone, and Travis Scott will perform, and there will be an appearance by Yo Gabba Gabba. Can't hardly wait to not attend. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Peach Wabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Cloudy skies in the overnight with northwest winds still gusting up around 30 miles per hour, and overnight lows will drop to the mid-30s. For your Friday, look for mostly cloudy skies. Northwest winds still a bit breezy, and our highs topping out in the lower 40s. It's 39 at our studios.
Dom Selvia.
Next time, Donald Trump has picked his new candidate for U.S. Attorney General, Pam Bondi, a former lobbyist for Qatar. Will she last longer than the Gates? Tune in.
The Dom Selvia Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
You're listening to the Eagle, WLCX, LaCrosse's home for the Todd Allball Show.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Good morning and welcome to Matt Mayer on Air. Jane Matt Mayer, Greg Mock, and Kelvin Butenhoff coming to you live, partly from my dining room and partly from Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. You can call, you can text. The number is the same. It's 855-752-4442, or leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. We do have a very, very busy show coming up for you today. Retired Major General Randy Manner, also a member of National Security Leaders for America, is going to be joining us at 10:33 specifically to talk about Donald Trump's candidate for Department of Defense, Pete Hegseth. And Pete Hegseth has said, among other things, that women should not be serving in the military. He also, of course, settled a sexual assault case not too long ago. And Donald Trump has also talked about forming some kind of tribunal to bring current military leaders in front of, I don't know, to determine whether they're loyal enough. I can't imagine that Randy Manner is going to be very excited about that. He will be joining us at 10:33 next hour. Things lighten up a little bit. Weather and wine with Brittany Merlot, Civic Media meteorologist, at 11:20. At 11:33, every other Thursday, we are joined by the Acme Packing Company sports guru, Paul Noonan. And today we will wrap up the show as we always do with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Today, Slow Speed Chase Edition, sent in by Tony from Mequon. So thank you, Tony from Mequon. We will be using your This Shouldn't Be a Thing at the very end of the show. If you ever have a thing that should not be, send it in to Greg and me at janesays@civicmedia.us. JaneSays. Jane Says. civicmedia.us. Did want to start off just with a reminder, and we're going to be needing this now, I think, going forward, as this is the first snow of the season. But 511wi.gov. 511wi.gov is a wonderful website before you head out the door to find out where all the accidents are. And they are scattered all over the place across primarily southeastern Wisconsin, but we do have some full closures around Wauwatosa. We have a full closure in downtown Milwaukee, and there are some disabled vehicles and some closed ramps all over the place. So essentially, if you do not have to go out today, I would encourage you to stay home if at all possible. Work from home if you can. Some of us are lucky enough to have that ability. But again, 511wi.gov. Use that website, and it's got an app too, right, Greg? You've used the app.
Oh, yes. The app is fantastic. You can download it right to your phone. You get all the same features that you do with the website. You can see road closures. You can see accidents. You can see camera footage. You can also even see what the billboards are saying that give you warnings, like how much time is to downtown or oncoming closures. It is a comprehensive website and a great app. So 511wi.gov.
Another great app while we're on the subject.
Oh,
The Civic Media app is completely free. Wherever you get your apps, go to the App Store and download the free Civic Media app. You are able to call and text directly to whatever show you're listening to across the state, and other kinds of features, all kinds of wonderful things on the Civic Media app. So check that out as well. We did want to start off, though, with Greg. You brought this to my attention. Derek Van Orden,
yes,
from Wisconsin's 3rd District, has jumped into the fray regarding the selection of former Representative Matt Gaetz as Attorney General. So Republican Representative Derek Van Orden said he would vote to release this House Ethics Committee. Mm-hmm. I find that fascinating.
Yeah. I mean, a couple of things. One, I mean, kudos to Derek Van Orden. He just wants the truth to come out. We do have a clip of him talking to CNN about it. But also, so remember that they don't like each other. They are very famous for getting into almost a fist fight on the floor of the House.
And there was a little altercation at the Republican National Convention, I understand, too.
Yeah, there was a little tiff on camera, too. It's like, two tough guys being all like, well, my guy, no, your guy, blah, blah, blah. It's like, you guys are both dorks.
Can we play that clip? Here's the clip from Derek Van Orden expressing his belief that the Ethics Committee report on Matt Gaetz should be released. Calvin, please.
There might be a vote in the House to release that report. Would you vote to release that report?
I think it's very important that everybody has as much knowledge as possible so that they can make an informed decision.
So it sounds like yes.
That's a yes. So if the rumors are true about Mr. Gaetz's conduct, then there should be referrals to other agencies. And if they're not true, then there's a whole lot of people that owe him an apology.
That's fascinating.
I mean, he's not wrong. Like if the report comes out and there's no findings, that's one thing. But let's be honest here. Let's do the math. It's a simple 1 + 1 = not good, because they wouldn't be trying to hold on to it if there wasn't evidence in there to show that Matt Gaetz has been, liable for what he's done.
Well, absolutely. If this exonerated Gaetz, they would have released it last week.
Yeah.
There would have been no issue with this at all.
Yeah. This is simply them just trying to cover their tushes, and that's what they're doing, and that's honestly what they're going to get away with. I mean, let's not kid ourselves. At no point are consequences and or anything else going to come their way to the Trump administration. They're going to do what they want all the time. Calvin?
I can't speak to the veracity of what you might find, but there's apparently a hack and the ethics report has been leaked.
Mm, yeah.
So if you do some digging, you might be able to find the contents of the report.
I mean, that's just, I personally was just waiting for that to happen. But once it's leaked, they're going to be like, well, this is leaked, so we don't even know if this is true.
Well, and the whole excuse about it's only a draft report yet. Oh. Well, get on it. I mean, don't you have people who do those things? Then task them with finishing this and get it out the door.
I also
found this to be fascinating. On MSNBC, on Ari Melber's show, they actually clipped together a whole bunch of insults that Matt Gaetz has issued towards some of his colleagues. They clipped together Matt Gaetz attacking Senator Lisa Murkowski, who is a Republican, Susan Collins, another Republican, Mitch McConnell, Republican, Mark Wayne Mullen, Republican, who, by the way, Mr. Mark Wayne Mullen has said repeatedly that Matt Gaetz used to show them videos of his sexual conquest on the House floor.
Yeah.
He's also insulted. Oh, these are all Republicans. John Thune, John Cornyn, John Barrasso, and Tom Tillis, calling them fools and accusing them of corruption. I don't think he has lots of friends.
No, but you know what's amazing is all those senators are probably going to vote for him.
You're probably right.
Yeah, they're all going to vote for him. I mean, I don't trust Lisa Murkowski or Susan Collins as far as I can throw them, and I have a bad back, so I can't throw them far. But, I mean, that's just – it's funny – the Republicans come out and say these things that sound like, yes, you're right, Matt Gaetz is a terrible person and we should release this information. But then when push comes to shove and the rubber meets the road, when the vote comes down to it, they're going to vote for him because that's what Republicans do. They vote together. Therefore, they win together. And that's the big problem.
It is a big problem. But I have to wonder also, why would they assume that Gates is not going to go after them? If he gets this position, he's going to be a very, very powerful person in our government. And what makes you think he's not going to seek retribution?
Oh, I mean,
for colleagues who have criticized him.
Well, there's a part of me that thinks that his cabinet itself, there's retribution within there. Like, yeah, you get to have this job, but now I get to publicly shame you, make you look like a fool, take your thunder. You get no real say. I'm going to do everything. Like, this is going to be at least 18 months to 2 years of pure retribution for those who didn't lockstep, absolutely bow to great leader, period.
Yeah, definitely. Tony on the live stream says, I think this is a situation where there's smoke, there's fire.
Yes.
Yeah, you got to wonder, again, if this completely, if this report completely exonerated Matt Gaetz, they'd hand out framed copies, for heaven's sakes, and be celebrating this all over the place.
Yeah, I mean, if there was an ethics report on a Democrat and there were no finding whatsoever, it wouldn't matter because the ethics inquiry would be all they would need to make themselves look like the victors. That is the problem we see now, which is they get to do what they want, get away with what they want, and there are no consequences. And when you try to say, oh, the president is a convicted felon and adjudicated rapist, they don't have to care. But Hunter Biden says, yeah, let's talk about out in the open. And Joe Biden's not pardoning his son. They're still harping on Hunter Biden.
Yeah, you want to go back to the old favorite standards.
Yeah, because that's all right? you have is your greatest hits. You have your greatest hits.
A Democrat from Illinois, Representative Sean Casten, has moved to force the committee to release the findings through a privileged resolution that would trigger a vote in the House within 2 legislative days. Should the committee not release the information, they are scheduled to release the report. They could vote to release the report later, and now they have a meeting scheduled for December 5th. So this is a couple of weeks away.
Yeah. I mean, people will be watching, but at this point, the damage is done. It's being hidden. They've covered their tracks all they need to, and they're just going to wait for us to move on to something else. I mean, we have cabinet appointments just full of slime balls that we can, and Matt Gaetz is, we're moving on from, and now we're talking about Pete Hegseth, very hard name to say, by the way, Pete Hegseth as well. So there's a lot of noise happening and we have to focus somewhere, and we're eventually going to take our focus off of Matt Gaetz, and that's what they're counting on.
Absolutely. Just keep flooding the zone mm-hmm. and throw more squirrels in there and more distractions.
Absolutely.
And then life will go on as usual. Mm-hmm. All right. When we return, we remember the Waukesha Christmas Parade from 3 years ago and those we lost and those who are still here. A special memorial in Waukesha is happening later on this afternoon. Hopefully the weather will have improved by that time. Stay with us. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air, coming to you across the Civic Media Radio Network.
Eagle 1490 AM.
What I know about courage, I learned from my adoptive mom. She said sometimes you just gotta hold on and know we'll get through this.
Mom, we are so high up. Hold my hand.
No, you hold my hand.
Here we go.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more. This message is brought to you by AdoptUS Kids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
The Todd Albaugh Show.
Trevi Olson, senior advisor at the Lincoln Project.
We as individuals need to be far better in terms of getting the tools we need to have the conversations. You're never going to shame someone out of their political beliefs.
Yes.
You're never going to get them with talking points.
You nailed it. And I think that that's what some of our friends on the left don't get. And I think it's destructive and it's not beneficial.
The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekdays, noon till 2, on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Earl Ingram.
Don from Milwaukee.
I enjoy your show. Right now, at a time like this, you are great therapy for me. I don't know what I'd do without you guys.
We enjoy you as well. That's the importance of Civic Media and this platform. And Sandy and I take this seriously. We're going to continue to do whatever it is we can to make sure that people like you continue to get your voices heard.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Wisconsin's home for daily conversations about the state's latest headlines and stories. Weekday mornings from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for Up North News Radio.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt Mayer on Air. Jane Matt Mayer, Greg Bach, and Sweet Gal B on the board, coming to you live from Radio Park in Racine and also from my dining room. You can always join us. You can call, you can text at 855-752-4842. We'll leave a comment if you're watching in the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform that used to be Twitter. Just a reminder about that great website and app. It's 511wi.gov. That will give you a map of the entire state with all of the accidents that are all over the place, and there are a lot of them right now. So if you don't have to go out on the roads, please stay home and be safe. Otherwise, maybe you can push things off until a little bit later on this afternoon when it's supposed to turn over to rain, and hopefully things will improve a little bit on the roadways. Coming up after the 10:30 news, retired Major General Randy Manner will be here. He's with National Security Leaders for America. We're going to be talking about Donald Trump's pick as the head of the Department of Defense. Or Fox News weekend anchor Pete Hegseth. We will be joined by Randy Manner, so stay close for that. Right now, though, we did want to stop and remember the people who were killed during the tragic Waukesha Christmas parade from 3 years ago. In 2021, a vehicle went barreling through the parade lineup, killing 6 people, injuring like 70 more people. Today is the 3rd anniversary of this tragedy. And so they are unveiling a new memorial near downtown Waukesha in Greedy Park today. I believe it's at 4:39 this afternoon. Again, hopefully the weather is going to cooperate a little bit and people will be able to get out and about. But there's been a lot of work and a lot of collaboration into this effort. Not only is the statue like the focal point, it is a statue of 6 hearts intertwined. Mayor Sean Riley of Waukesha says they symbolize the 6 people killed in the attack: Leanna Owen, Virginia Sorensen, and Tamara Durand. They all belonged to the Dancing Grannies. Also, Willem Hospital, Jane Kulik, and 8-year-old Jackson Sparks were killed. And as I said, about 70 other people injured. And the entire Waukesha community was impacted by this, obviously. But the one thing that's pretty... not sweet, but it's a lovely touch. Surrounding the statue is a wall of more than 1,200 tiles that were created by members of the Waukesha community. Carmen De La Paz is a Waukesha-based carpenter, designer, and welder, and she led the tile project. She actually hand-rolled 1,400 pounds of clay.
Oh my God.
And then went out into the community to help members craft whatever they would like. So she hand rolled 1400 pounds of clay, and then they made them into 6x6 inch squares so people could put flowers on them or animals or inscriptions like hope. One of the tiles even includes the paw prints of a canine police dog. So isn't that great?
That's amazing. Dale Paz
says she worked on the tiles, with community members all over the city, in bars, bowling alleys, churches, and on the sidewalk. She told WPR, "I didn't know if people would be into the project or not. I am honored. I'm humbled by the fact that so many people in Waukesha embraced this project. We're happy to be a part of it. I really do believe that it was a healing process for so many people." Don't forget, too, and we've talked to these this group before, the Waukesha Resiliency Center is still available for people who were affected by this.
Yeah.
So if you ever have any, if you just need someone to talk to,
yes,
reach out to them. The Waukesha Resiliency Center, they're going to be at the memorial this afternoon. Mayor Sean Riley says the center has been providing help and care for folks for 2 years. As he said, quote, "If you're someone impacted by the parade and you wish to have any type of mental health counseling, or you just want somebody to talk to, go to the Resiliency Center." We will include that in our show notes after the show is over. And again, that memorial will be this afternoon at about 4:39. We had not yet moved to Waukesha. I think we moved out there the year after this occurred. But those Waukesha Strong signs were just a wonderful reminder of how the community came together and supported each other during this horrible, horrible tragedy.
I still see Waukesha Strong signs all over the yards in Waukesha. People are still have their bumper stickers. I mean, this was a national news story. This was in the national news for days. This was not how Waukesha wants to be remembered, of course, but, you know, like all great communities, they come together with the help of neighbors from all over, and they support one another, like with the Resiliency Center, which I will put in the show notes today. But yeah, I mean, that memory is still deep ingrained within the city of Waukesha, and it probably will never go away. But at least over time, we heal, we learn to remember the good things, and things like Carmen De La Paz's astronomically huge project will be remembered and bring comfort to those who are affected.
If you are in the area this afternoon, again, today at 4:39 p.m., the city will gather together at Greedy Park on the third year anniversary of the parade tragedy. And then people will be able to go into this new memorial, this big heart, and check out those tiles that Carmen De La Paz did with all of those community members from Waukesha. It should be very, very touching. And I hope everyone has an opportunity to stop by and remember.
Yeah. Yeah.
News is coming up next. When we return, we're going to talk to retired Major General Randy Manner. We'll be here from National Security Leaders for America. Stay close. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air, coming to you across the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for Matinee on Air.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. Florida Attorney General Pam Bondi stands to become the next U.S. Attorney General. President-elect Trump nominating the former Florida AG after Matt Gaetz dropped out Thursday.
Gaetz did phone the president-elect late this morning, obviously informing him of his decision. But, of course, informing him of the decision came as Trump behind the scenes grew quite frustrated with what he continued to learn from this new public reporting about Gaetz. So in Trump's statement, he says that Gaetz didn't want to be a distraction for the administration. He says he wishes him well.
ABC's Catherine Falders. Federal police in Brazil indicted former President Jair Bolsonaro for allegedly attempting a coup after he was booted out of office in 2022. 61 people sickened in 19 states, 10 dead. The final numbers as federal public health officials declare an end to the listeria outbreak linked to a recall of Boar's Head deli meats. This is ABC.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
The Bucks host the Pacers. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Milwaukee Bucks take on the Pacers tonight at Fiserv Forum. After a horrible start, the Bucks have won four of their last five, getting more points from Brook Lopez, head coach Doc Rivers.
It's funny, we're talking about Brook today, and I made the comment, you just can't ever lose faith in him because you know he can shoot the ball, and you know eventually it's going to happen. I come into the facility yesterday evening. I'm the only one in there. Brook was the only other guy in there shooting. It was a really cool thing just watching him shoot over and over and over again.
College football, the Badgers are off to Nebraska to play the Cornhuskers tomorrow, game time at 2:30. Sunday, it's the Packers and the 49ers at Lambeau Field. Tucker Kraft on losing in the playoffs last season to San Francisco.
Yeah, last year was a tough game because we had them beaten so many categories, and then we lose the game. So coming out this week and just trying to maximize every opportunity, that's going to be the main game plan.
That's Packers tight end Tucker Kraft. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Wicked's weekend is here, and Wicked and Gladiator have high hopes for a box office splash. Wicked is expected to be the box office winner, with Universal Studios hoping for a $100 to $110 million opener. Paramount is hoping Gladiator 2 pulls in about $65 million, which would be a healthy start for a film that cost $250 million to make. Even those healthy estimates would have this twosome fall short of Barbenheimer's opening weekend, which pulled in $235 million a year and a half ago. Actress Rosemarie DeWitt recently appeared on the Drew Barrymore Show and said her husband, Ron Livingston, was so despised for his role as Jack Berger on Sex and the City that he couldn't even walk in New York City without rabid fans yelling and screaming at him. Ironically, when Livingston wanders through an office, he gets constant reminders about his TPS reports. Guy can't catch a break. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Cloudy skies in the overnight with northwest winds still gusting up around 30 miles per hour, and overnight lows will drop to the mid-30s. For your Friday, look for mostly cloudy skies, northwest winds still a bit breezy, and our highs topping out in the lower 40s. It's 39 at our studios.
The Todd Alba Show.
Zomers, are you a Netflix and chill guy?
Do you know what Netflix and chill means?
I thought it just meant watch something on Netflix together.
You say that's what you're going to do, but you're really having them over there for sex.
This is why nobody wants to come to my place anymore. I say, hey, you want to come over and have Netflix and chill? People keep saying, well, no, I don't think so. I'll take it back. And I just thought they were being rude.
I do have Netflix, though.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Matt Nair on air.
And we are here with Matt Randolph, Mr. Global. Donald Trump now will be coming in for a second term. There has been talk of removing sanctions from Russia. What would that mean, Matt, for the oil and gas industry?
So it depends on what Russia does, but we've seen nothing to suggest that they want to have anything to do with lowering oil prices.
And so the prices are essentially going to stay the same?
In all likelihood, yes.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Maggie Dawn.
I'm closing out my conference at which I'm speaking, so you've got another great guest host. You'll be joined by Matt Rothschild. He'll be in the chair. Don't miss it.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Come in and leave your mind open. It's time we let love in.
Good morning and welcome. Welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Mock, and Sweet Cal B coming to you live, partly from my dining room and partly from Radio Park in Racine, Wisconsin. You can always join us at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform that used to be Twitter after the 11 o'clock news. It's a round of, yeah, let's not do this, regarding a recent flight from Milwaukee to Canada and one of the passengers on board. Of course, every show we wrap up with, this shouldn't be a thing. Today's thing is the slow speed chase edition. So stick around for that coming up at 11:51. Very happy to have our next guest join us. Once again, Randy Manner is a retired Major General with the United States Army and also a member of National Security Leaders for America. Good morning, Randy. Thanks so much for coming back on the show.
Absolutely, Jane. Good to see all of you again.
Well, there have been some selections for the upcoming Trump administration, and there's a couple that I wanted to cover with you. But let's start with Pete Hegseth, Randy, as the head of the Department of Defense. Of course, Pete Hegseth did serve. He served for 20 years, but he's a Fox Weekend News host. And the Department of Defense is a sprawling agency, is it not?
Yes. Well, I mean, the way to think about this is, for your listeners, is that this is an organization of way more than 2 million people and a budget of over $800 billion. So understanding, and it's extremely complex, the Department of Defense is not sit by itself. It also includes, how do you interact with Congress? How do you interact with other governments, other militaries? How do you interact with other parts of our own government to ensure that our national objectives are taken care of and that we're all kept safe? It's very, very complex.
He's also said some things, Randy, about women's place in the military. And he said that women should not be serving in active combat roles.
Yeah, and I question what planet he's on. I respect the fact that he served our country, and that's awesome. I really wonder if he understands that there are many ways where combat is all around you when you're in combat anymore. It's not like there is a front line. Like, these are clearly combat and these are not. I know he'll say things like special forces and so on. My attitude is, if you can do the job, I don't care who, what, where you come from or your gender or your nationality. It's all about, can you perform what's required in the job? Unfortunately, he is going to put other, he's already said it, he has biases against certain kinds of people, to include women.
And what about gays in the military, Randy? I'm curious your opinion on that. Was that disruptive to our armed forces?
Absolutely not. Not one bit. Remember, I served for 36 years in all levels as an officer, and absolutely positively, never a single moment. So, and I will tell you, I mean, I think people who bring that up, they're stuck on their bias, unfortunately.
And there is a certain group of people that seem to be excessively obsessed with other people's sex lives. And I guess I just don't understand that. When I have time to be thinking about other things, that's rarely what I'm concerned about.
Yeah, I get it. I think there are some people that are much more concerned about other people than they are about themselves living their own values and virtues. It's unfortunate. They want to impose their thoughts on you.
Well, and they want to, and I feel like they want to impose their Christian-inspired morality on all of us.
Yeah, I mean, last time I checked, we absolutely are a rule of law nation. I know there's a tiny percentage of 10% people who wish it wasn't that way. The reality is, we still are, and we will continue to fight for the rule of law in all aspects of what we do.
If you're just joining us, our guest is retired Major General Randy Manner, also a member of National Security Leaders for America. I saw this as well, Randy, and I have to imagine that this
is not going to sit well among members of our military. The Wall Street Journal, reported earlier this month that President-elect Trump's transition team is working on an executive order to speed up the firing of top military brass if it gets approved. This draft executive order would set up a warrior board of retired generals and non-commissioned officers to review 3- and 4-star officers and recommend anyone, quote, lacking in requisite leadership qualities.
Right. Well, what?
So they're going to, he just wants to purge. It feels like a purge.
Oh, well, it doesn't seem like it is a purge. It's a purge of people who may not be loyal to him personally. That is the criteria on which they will judge. And by the way, that panel, that board, it's going to be made up of predominantly very old white men. They might find someone else to be on it, but it's going to be predominantly the people who signed his endorsement letter, which were predominantly old white men well into their 80s. And they are unfortunately not understanding the value of everyone has something to contribute. And it's very unfortunate that we are looking, quite frankly, to the moral equivalent, minus, I hope, the executions of what Stalin did, where he said, if you're not loyal to me, you're out. Of course, he meant out permanently, and I don't think Trump will go that far. Removing 3- and 4-star generals who don't pledge allegiance to him, yep, that's going to happen. And by the way, completely legal, because the president has immunity, according to the Supreme Court. So I want all your viewers to understand, won't happen. I'm going to tell you it's going to happen. It will happen.
So the question I have then is, because what we're seeing with the cabinet the cabinet nominations are sycophants, yes men, the all-stars of his rallies. I mean, they're all recognizable faces from whether it's Fox News or just the regular news. But with these generals, with these military people who signed their endorsement of him, as you said, old white men, they're going to have to replace these outgoing 3- and 4-star generals. Will they just end up bringing in all of these old favorites back and say, we're going to reinstate you for a bit and then replace you, or just say, you got the right idea, now go lead my army or my military?
So it's a combination of both. Could they absolutely recall people to active duty? That is not only legal, but the president can do anything he wants. Mm. It is absolutely legal to recall any retired officer or NCO to active duty. That's number one. Number two, you kind of yank or fire senior qualified officers based on experience, their experiences and being around the world, and replace them with less qualified people. You have less qualified individuals leading us. Are they likely to be yes men as a result? Probably. Are they going to be more experienced and more capable? Absolutely, positively not. That's why in the military, whether it's an E5, or meaning a sergeant, or whether it's a lieutenant colonel or a commander in the Navy, you just don't go out and hire those people. They have to have all these experiences over years of training and working with different units around the world and different militaries to get where they are. You just can't snap your fingers and replace them.
Well, and snap your fingers and replace them with people who do not have the decades of experience. Yeah. What they have is complete and utter fealty to Donald Trump. Right. It's just so dangerous.
So one way to think about this for your listeners, because and this is not trying to be offensive in any way, but the average American does not understand what it is like to run a 2 million person organization with $800 billion. So if getting this down to, if you're part of a car dealership or you own a farm or something, and you say, I need a mechanic. And someone says, I've got this guy named Bob. You need Bob. And he says, okay, great. Well, what kind of experience does Bob have to be a mechanic? Oh, well, no experience, really. He's got some tools, but you know what? He'll do anything you tell him to do. Okay, I'll guarantee you that car dealership or that farmer is not going to hire Bob. Yeah. You know what? That's what's happening at our national level, is because Bob looks good and Bob will do whatever you tell him to do. And I want Bob. That's not what the average American wants.
And the problem is, we live in a society now where if you don't hire Bob, they're like, why won't you hire Bob? He is the best. He's better than your guy. But also the question I have really quick, it's a logistical question too, is if they go through on this and they fire, I mean, I don't know how many 3- and 4-star generals there are. I don't know how many will be fired. I'll have to say more than a few. Do those longtime, lifetime officers lose their pensions because they're fired?
Okay. So at that level, anybody who is a 1-star or above on average has enough for a military retirement. Mm-hmm. But remember that Trump already threatened to recall, starting at the top, Admiral McRaven, General Milley, General Kelly, and others, other 4-star generals, Admiral McRaven, to recall them to active duty and to charge them with treason. If that happens, they could remove their benefits. They could put them in prison or worse.
Yeah.
And I will tell you that it is sending a chill through all of the military ranks right now, to include retired officers like myself that have spoken out in terms of the concepts of democracy. However, I will continue to speak out for democracy and for treating each other with dignity and respect, because that's what our country is based on. So,
and we thank you for that, sir. Thank you.
Absolutely. Randy Manor is our guest. He's a retired Major General with the U.S. Army, over 36 years of service and serving our country, and a member of National Security Leaders for America. And we're talking about President-elect's plans as he heads into his second administration, talking about bringing back these retired major generals and former admirals and holding tribunals for them. Good heavens, what is that going to do for morale? Aren't we already having recruitment problems with these various branches?
So informally, there's a lot of my like-minded colleagues that say the majority of Americans have voted for Donald Trump. We are not election deniers. We accept the fact that he has won this election. And therefore, we say, okay, let Trump burn it all down and give the people what they voted for. Lower Medicare, lower the actual, recruiting will drop, not increase. It will significantly drop because parents, moms and dads, do not want their children to join a military where they're being led by less than the best leaders in the world, not by political hacks, because their sons and their daughters' lives are at stake. See, when it gets more personal, people get more real.
Yes.
When you think about the national level and the presidency and Congress, oh, that's all make-believe. It doesn't really impact me. I'm going to tell you right now, if you don't have good leaders leading your sons and daughters, people will get hurt or they will die. And that includes even in training, by the way.
Yeah, this isn't some esoteric thing. This is going to touch all of us, as we have been saying for at least the past 2 years. And there's a provision within Project 2025 that we're going to get to on the other side, Randy, as far as bringing back, it's a draft in some form. And now we are seeing some of the authors of Project 2025 being named as members of the Trump administration. And though, even though he had nothing to do with it at all and knew nothing about it. So we're going to talk about that when we return. Stay with us. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air. We're coming to you across the vast statewide, countrywide, global civic media radio network.
Yeah.
This is the talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM. The Todd Alba Show.
Trevi Olson, senior advisor at the Lincoln Project.
We as individuals need to be far better in terms of getting the tools we need to have the conversations. You're never going to shame someone out of their political beliefs.
Yes.
You're never going to get them with talking points.
You nailed it. And I think that that's what some of our friends on the left don't get. And I think it's destructive and it's not beneficial.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Dom Salvia Show.
State Senator-elect Jody Habesh-Sinikin. What's the best way, do you think, it is to approach a difference in not just opinion, but in what we perceive as facts with those that may not be aware or don't agree with it?
First, having a conversation. Try to get an understanding of what is really bothering them and try to offer solutions at the state level or at the local level where there can be progress.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app.
Lena Bloom for The Bail Project.
Imagine you're stuck in a jail cell and you can't afford bail and someone offers you a way out. Just plead guilty and you can go home and kiss your kids goodnight. What do you do? What thousands have. You plead guilty whether you are or not. Cash bail makes poverty a crime. That's why The Bail Project helps those who can't afford it while fighting to end cash bail. Because freedom should be free.
Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Out here in the middle of these acres, it can feel like you're the only person on earth. That's how it feels when you're struggling with your mental health. But you don't have to feel alone. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, and the Calvinator coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. You can call. You can text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. We'll leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform that used to be Twitter. 1 hour from now, we will wrap up the show with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Today, it is the Slow Speed Chase edition. Make sure you stick around for that. And if you ever have a thing you think should not be, send it in to Greg and me at Jane Says, JaneSays, Jane Says at civicmedia.us. We are joined by retired Major General Randy Manner, over 36 years in the U.S. Army and also a member of National Security Leaders for America. And I really wanted to have you back, Randy, once Donald Trump started naming some of his appointees for these cabinets. We have a really good question from Tom on the live stream. He says, do you think things are going to be done in little shocks where people aren't going to notice, or is it going to be more dramatic over the next 4 years?
So the one thing about the federal government is there is an inertia to it. What I mean by that is the budgets for 2025, they're already in the system. So we're not going to see dramatic impact on the American people through much of 2025.
Okay.
Except for in a couple of areas. Number one, he is going to make dramatic gestures to the people who voted for him, like starting to round up illegal aliens. He'll start in the border states that support him. There'll be some activity literally in January and February, but it's not going to impact the average American necessarily. However, for example, Department of Education, the person he's nominating to be the secretary, it said, you know, we should get rid of the Department of Education. I really question how many people in red counties, and I say red, because that don't understand how many federal dollars are being put into their school county system by the federal government directly because they don't have enough of a tax base to pay all their teachers. When that money goes away in 2026, because it will go away according to what Trump has promised and the person he's putting in, that means less teachers, the closing of capabilities, the number of schools that are available won't be as many, the services won't be there. people don't understand how many federal dollars predominantly go into poorer areas of our country, which I fully support, by the way.
Yes.
But Donald Trump doesn't. He wants to have smaller government, which means screw the federal dollars. That's when people are going to start to see it in 2026. In 2025, there will be things like perhaps bringing some people back to court-martial them, meaning Admiral McRaven, starting at the top and working your way down. There'll be a chill through the recruiting, which is already struggling in our military, by the end of 2025. The idea that if he does the tariffs, these massive tariffs,
yes,
the average American does not understand. The other country doesn't pay them, okay? We pay them when we buy the product. And I don't know if people understand how many washers and dryers and refrigerators are actually made in the United States anymore. Not too many. So I encourage you to consider going to buy one in the next 45 days. The price will probably go up sometime in March or April.
Randy, I don't know if you saw this, but the day after the election, the Google search for who pays for tariffs jumped like 1,000%.
Yeah, like, oops, what did we just vote for? Oh, that's okay. You're going to get it.
And going back to the educational dollars and the federal dollars that fund education, it's my understanding that especially families with special needs kids are really going to be impacted by this.
It's very sad. It's very sad, the programs that will be cut massively, because the local counties cannot afford to provide these services without federal assistance. And my heart goes out to them. The reality is it's going to happen, but not right away, because all those budget dollars are already working their way through the system. 2026, we'll see it.
Well, in a lot of these smaller communities don't even have a private school alternative. The public school is it.
Yes, that's true. And again, my heart goes out to these people because I don't think they truly understand what will happen. And we're not talking Armageddon. Of course, we're not talking that. We're just talking about prices will go up on many items. I don't think gas is going to go up necessarily because, you know, that pump baby, drill baby, drill will go on. However, milk and eggs and bread, those prices will definitely go up because of the competition.
Well, and just wait until we start losing the undocumented workers who pick all our produce and pick all our food. Okay. This is going to be a long, painful exposure.
Yeah. And again, please understand, for the average American that may be listening, I doubt there will be anything serious on day one or month one or even the first 6 months, but it will come. The federal government is slow to move, thank goodness. However, he's going to do everything in his power through executive order to move things rapidly.
The one thing I did want to make sure that I mentioned, in Project 2025, it does not call for a reinstatement of the draft, but what it does do is require all students who attend federally funded schools to complete a military entrance exam. It doesn't force them to enlist or involve a draft, but still, that would be a mandate on public school kids, not private school kids.
Yeah, which is obviously not fair, since, I mean, for the obvious reason, it should be equitable for everyone. I'm a big believer in public service, whether it's the military, Peace Corps, or whatever else.
Randy Manner is a retired Major General with the U.S. Army and a member of National Security Leaders for America. Thank you so very much, Randy. We will have you back on sooner than later, most likely.
Absolutely, Jane. Thank you all.
News is coming up next. Stay with us. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air, coming to you on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to the Talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Dan Schaefer will be here from the Recombobulation area. Also, Civic Media's political editor. And as always, we'll wrap it up with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Don't miss it.
Matinair on Air, weekday mornings at 10.
The Todd Alba Show.
Zomers, are you a Netflix and chill guy?
Do you know what Netflix and chill means?
I thought it just meant watch something on Netflix together.
You say that's what you're going to do, but you're really having them over there for sex.
This is why nobody wants to come to my place anymore. I say, hey, you want to come over and have Netflix and chill? People keep saying, well, no, I don't think so. I'll take it back. And I just thought they were being rude.
I do have Netflix, though.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app. Soaring high above La Crosse. This is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.